Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. This is Theology Thursday. Typically, we look at the news of the day from a Christian worldview. Today, we look at the source of the Christian worldview, God's Word. In Psalm 102, that's spoken of Jehovah, the Creator, the Almighty. But in Hebrews chapter 1, the author says, "This was written of the Son, Jesus Christ." So when the Hebrew prophet is saying Jehovah and the New Testament author says that's Jesus, that tells us that the Creator, Almighty God, is Jesus Christ. It is wrong to worship anyone other than the Creator God. You can only worship God. You don't worship the angels. John in Revelation 22 gets reprimanded for falling prostrate before an angel. You don't do that. Peter entered Cornelius' home and Cornelius fell down and worshiped him. And Peter said, "Get up, I'm a man. You only worship God." As Jesus told Lucifer, remember Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness? And the one temptation was, he said, "I have the kingdoms of the world. Worship me and I will give them to you. They are mine," he said to Christ. "I can give them to whomever I will. Worship me, and I will give you the kingdoms of the world." Jesus said, "You are to worship no one but God alone." Well, if we look in this chapter of Hebrews, back up a few lines, I want to get to verse 6, but let's begin with verse 5, Hebrews 1:5. "For to which of the angels did he ever say, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you'? This is God speaking throughout these quotes here. "To which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my son'?" He only said that to Jesus. "And again, 'I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son.' But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, 'Let all the angels of God worship him.'" That's the Son. That's God the Father, speaking of the Son, saying, "Let all the angels of God worship him." Isn't that neat? God the Father is not just tolerating it. He's not looking the other way at some erroneous expression of gratitude. He's encouraging. He's commanding. "Let the angels of God worship the Son of God, Jesus Christ." God is a jealous God and would not share worship with any created being. It's vulgar to conceive of worship rising to an angel. Paul writes of men in Romans 1:25. He says, "Men who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worship the creature rather than the Creator." That's a sign of wickedness, to worship a creature instead of the Creator. God said, "Let the angels of God worship the Son." Christ accepted worship even when he was on earth. I'm going to run through some passages in the Gospel of Matthew where we see that Jesus was worshipped while on earth. In Matthew chapter 8, a leper came to him and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can clean me." And Jesus put his hand on him and said, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately he was. And that leper came to him and worshipped him. Let me back up to Matthew 2, verse 11. When the wise men had come into the house where Jesus was, the wise men had come into the house and they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And that's such a precious story of what happened with the little baby Jesus receiving worship. And if this was a vile act of pagan idolatry, it would not be recorded by the evangelist as this wonderful event. Matthew 9, while Jesus spoke these things, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter has just died. lay your hand on her and she will live. The ruler came and worshiped him. Recall when Jesus was in the boat with his disciples, and in Matthew 14:33, they worshiped him. Recall the Canaanite woman with the demon-possessed daughter in Matthew 15, that crucial story for understanding the overview of the whole Bible. And she came and worshiped him, Matthew 15:25, saying, "Lord, help me." Jesus hadn't seen that kind of great faith. He healed her daughter. When the women went to the tomb and they saw that Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead, and it's such a vivid description in Matthew 28, and as they went to tell his disciples that the tomb was empty, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And just 8 verses later, at the end of Matthew, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. They worshiped him. As in Matthew, so also with the other three Gospels, and I'll give you examples from each of the three briefly. In Mark 5, 6, a man saw Jesus from afar and he ran and worshiped him. In Luke 24, 52, the disciples worshiped him and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Remember the blind man that Jesus healed who was mocked by the Pharisees? John 9:35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "I did not come into the world to judge the world." No, sorry, he didn't say that. He said, "For judgment I have come into this world." In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." God there is a plural word, Elohim. El is the singular for God. Elohim is the plural, just like cherub and cherubim, seraph and seraphim. El for God, or Elohim. El or Elah is God. Elohim is gods. The Bible teaches only one God. Judaism is one of the three monotheistic religions, Christianity and Islam. Moses wrote, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." That was the main teaching that he had to offer the world. Why would he start off Genesis 1:1 saying, "In the beginning, gods," plural, Elohim? But he didn't end it there. He said, "In the beginning, gods created the heavens and the earth." Heavens is plural, earth is singular. But the verb create is not a plural verb. It doesn't go with a plural subject. It goes with a singular subject, as we have in English. So they have even more consistently in Hebrew. So if we were to translate it woodenly, literally, it would say, "In the beginning, gods, he created the heavens and the earth." And that would be a grammatical error. You don't use a singular verb with a plural subject. Any homeschool second grader knows that. So Moses was very well educated. He's incredibly literate. He wrote the beginning of the most popular book ever written. How could he make such a grammatical blunder in the first verse? It wasn't a blunder. The very first verse of the Hebrew Bible tells us that God is a plurality. There is a Godhead, as Paul describes it in Romans 1. "In the beginning, gods, he created. So let us make man in our image." God is a plurality. As we go on further, we find out he's a trinity. In Genesis 19:24, that's the story of Sodom and Gomorrah with the homosexuality that was in Abraham's time. "And the Lord came down from heaven and talked with Abraham." And the Lord is getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. We find this fascinating verse, Genesis 19:24. The Lord, remember Jehovah, these are both Jehovah. He was talking to Abraham. He was on earth. And then it says, "The Lord Jehovah rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. See that? The Lord on earth called down fire and brimstone from the Lord in the heavens. Wow, they're both Jehovah. Jehovah on earth said to Jehovah in heaven, send me some fire and brimstone. Sort of like Scotty and Kirk and all that, but only more panoramic, better picture. The Lord is one, but he is a plurality. Recall that Jesus is described by Paul in Philippians 2:6 by thinking a very strange thing. Paul says that Jesus thought that, in fact, the way he says it, he says that Jesus did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. What does that mean? That's a strange way of putting something. Paul says that Jesus, in Philippians 2:6, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. What is idolatry? Idolatry is like stealing the worship due God because someone else is receiving that worship that's due God. Idolatry is theft. It's like impersonating a police officer or a military official. You don't impersonate somebody, and least of all, you don't impersonate God. But Jesus did not consider it robbery to be equal with God because he was God. If the Antichrist makes himself equal with God, that's robbery. But Jesus does not consider it robbery to be equal with God because he was equal with God. He is God. You know, every knee shall bow to God. Isaiah 45:23. God is speaking, Jehovah, I have sworn by myself that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. What does Paul write in Philippians 2:10? That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So God says, to me, I have sworn by myself that to me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall take an oath. Paul says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Who raised Christ from the dead? The Bible says repeatedly that the Father did in Acts, in Romans, in Colossians. And Jesus said, destroy this temple, my body, and I will raise it from the dead. Was he bragging? Right? A little overzealous in his claim of ability? No, of course not. Jesus could raise himself from the dead. The Father raised him from the dead because I and the Father are one. The Bible says straight out many places that Jesus is God in so many ways. Like in Matthew 1:23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. In the gospel we're studying, the fourth gospel, chapter 20, verse 28, Thomas, remember doubting Thomas, who finally saw and believed. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God, ha theos, the God, my Lord and my God. Recall when Jesus said in John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. That's a name for God. The burning bush with Moses. Moses said, what is your name? And God said, I am. And Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Jews, he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And they said, you're not even 50 years old. What do you mean Abraham rejoiced to see your day? He lived a long time ago. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. You know how he starts out that sentence? He says, I say to you. I say to you. Before Abraham was, I am. And they took up stones to throw at him because he just claimed to be God. He took the name of God for himself. The New Testament is written in Greek. And there's a rule of Greek grammar that often holds in other languages too. I'll give you an example in English. But it's called the Granville-Sharp rule. Those two guys were Greek grammarians. they documented this rule with countless examples. If you're reading a story and it says the father and the husband, is that referring to one person or two? The father and the husband went to the store. That would be two people. It was the father and the husband. But what if the story said the father and husband did something? That would be one person. The father and loving husband, or the father and husband, Jim so-and-so. Now, how do we distinguish between the two? The first example has the word the both times, before and after the and. The father and the husband, two people. If the definite article only appears with the first noun, then it refers to one person. The father and husband, the father and loving husband, the soldier and hero, it's one person. There are many places in the Bible, in the New Testament, where we read the God and Father of us all. Now, does that mean it's referring to two people or one? The God and Father, one person, the God and Father of us all. If it said the God and the Father, then that would indicate it might be two. Well, God and Jesus are mentioned in the epistles repeatedly in this construct of a Granville-Sharp rule, where it says, for example, and I'll just quickly cite these, and you'll recognize them, be familiar with them. Our God and Lord Jesus Christ. That's a Granville-Sharp. That means it's referring to one person. A Jehovah's Witness would say, well, that's two different people, our God and then Jesus Christ, two different people. But no, it says the God of us and Lord Jesus Christ. There's no article after the and, after the conjunction. The God and Savior, Jesus Christ. One or two people? One. There's only one article. Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. These occur in 2 Thessalonians 1:12, 1 Timothy 5:21, Titus 2:13, 2 Peter 1:1, 2 Peter 1:11. So let's go back now to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Does this refer to a God or the God? Well, Isaiah 46:9, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. God doesn't want to share his credit. God says there is no other God. If we didn't know Greek, if we were lousy at grammar, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Say, well, that's not the Almighty God, that's a different God. Sorry, there are no different gods. There just are none. I mean, you could talk about idols as though they were gods, small g, false gods. Paul says they're not even really gods. And you could talk about believers as little Christs or little gods, but they're not really gods. But in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, there is only one God. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they tricked Monica. They tricked her because she went to that verse. She said, no, Jesus is God. Look what it says, John 1:1. The Word was God. And they said, that's a mistranslation. If you want to get a good translation of the Bible, you need our little green Bible. Translated by people, it must have been a miracle because the translators did not know Greek or Hebrew. And in their Bible, it says that the Word was a God. That's what it says in their Bible, their New World Translation. Why would they translate it and the Word was a God? They said that's the literal translation because in Greek, you use the definite article, the. You got to put it there, the God. If you don't have the definite article, it's like using the indefinite article, a God. Greek doesn't have the word a or an. Those words don't exist in Greek. So the way you'd say a car is just by saying car. That means a car. you want to specify a specific one, you'd say the car in Greek, but you can't say a car. You just say car. And then say, look, in John 1:1, the word God is there without the definite article. That means a God. That's what it means. That's the literal meaning. So all the Christians are worshiping a false God because the word was a God. And that apparently shows us the extent of their Greek knowledge and skill. Because I want to give you other verses in John. I'll give you two in chapter 1 and a couple others where John writes God without the article. And then you decide, is he referring to a God, like the Jehovah Witnesses argue is necessary, or the Almighty God? In John chapter 1, verse 6, speaking of John the Baptist, he says, there was a man sent from a God, whose name was John. Well, there must be some God out there, and he sent us John the Baptist. Very thankful. In John chapter 1, verse 13, he said, believers are not born of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but they're born of a God. In John 3, verse 2, this man Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from a God. In John 9:33, if this man were not from a God, he couldn't do anything. Right? Look at John 13:3. This is the last one. We could do many of these in the New Testament. John 13:3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from a God, was going to the God. All right? That's silly. The Jehovah's Witnesses do not know Greek. Their founder, Charles Taze Russell, was in court on trial for fraud, and he had claimed to be fluent in Greek to defend his teachings. And they showed him the Greek alphabet, and he could not identify it. He couldn't read the letters of the Greek alphabet. So he was a fraud, and their translation is a fraud. I'd like to finish this study in the book of Revelation, where God finishes the whole Bible, with quite a few verses that I'm going to read somewhat quickly. In chapter 1, I have a red letter edition, so we see where Jesus is speaking in verse 8 and 11. In verse 8, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is and was and is to come, the Almighty. That's pretty clear. All right? Now, why would we say that's Jesus speaking? Well, we're going to go on and read more verses in chapter 1, and we'll see we're told that it's Jesus speaking. But I'd like you to know that in Isaiah 45, verse 6, the Lord says that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, there is no other. And then in 48, verse 12, he says, listen to me, I am he, I am the first, and I am the last. He says, I will not give my glory to another. Isaiah 48, 11 and 12. I will not give my glory to another. Jesus says, I have glory. I have my own glory. The Father shared his glory with me. The Father says, I will not give my glory to another. I am the first. I am the last. We just read where Jesus said, I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning and the end, who is and was, who is to come, the Almighty. Verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. That's what Jehovah said in Isaiah. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, Smyrna, to Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. Who is it that's saying I am the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the Almighty? Who's saying this? So I turned to see, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he said, get up, don't worship me, I'm not God. Doesn't say that here. I fell at his feet. And he said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 8. And these are seven letters in chapters 2 and 3 written by Jesus to seven churches. And he says, and to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, he who was dead came to life. That's Jesus. And in Isaiah, we saw verse 48, it's Jehovah that says, I am the first and the last. Revelation 2:18, to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. Let's go to chapter 22, Revelation 22, verse 8 and 9. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. You see how immediately a created being would stop anyone from worshiping him, and how different that behavior is from that of Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse 13, where Jesus is saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Look at verse 18. Now John is speaking. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. And now the conclusion of the entire Bible. He who testifies to these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The book is about Jesus. It's the Word of God. That's what we call this book. He is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Hey, this is Bob Enyart. If you would like to hear more, you could go to our store online. Go to kgov.com, click on the store, and then you could get our Bible studies, or go to the subscriptions where you could subscribe to our sermons and our Bible studies. You could get really fun verse-by-verse studies or topical Bible studies. I think you'll love it.